definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
It is Friday. Welcome in, everybody, to the End of the Bench here on 100.7 The Score, 100.7thescore.com, where we will take you all the way up until noon o'clock and hand you off to the bottom line. Texas Tech baseball tonight, Friendship baseball today, Cooper baseball today, Astros Rangers. The rivalry is back, and you can hear that tonight on 100.7 The Score. Jamie and I will be hogging Double T 97.3 deep into the night with Texas Tech and Houston. It is a Dos El Jefes edition of the program.
See.
As we welcome in the one and the only Jeff McGuire. What's up, Jeff?
It is a lovely day in Radioville. That's the way to describe it, because there is so much baseball on the air today.
Mm-hmm.
And I do hope that you're not playing until the wee hours of the morning tonight on Double T. Like, you're taking care of it tonight, don't get me wrong. But I hope you're not there until, you know, double digits on the clock.
No, we won't be.
Like, hopefully you guys are done at like 9:50 or so.
Yeah, we'll
let you guys get rolling and enjoy the rest of your short, you know, busy weekend, because Tech is, again, playing on Saturday in the afternoon and then on Sunday. But getting home and getting in bed, always a big fan.
Yeah, and W's need to happen this weekend, three of them. Usually
I
we
agree.
Go in saying, let's win a series, that'd be great. Well, we've won one conference series and lost three. So you have a chance to make up some of those lost conference series by taking care of business with Houston, who's currently last in the league. So we'll see how that goes. Currently, the most funny thing on the internet is an account called OK State Probs.
Okay.
Lucas, would you agree? It was pretty
funny. 100%, yes.
Okay. It has newest Stillwater star, Sarah Stair, who's obviously a track athlete.
Okay.
She has her track uniform on with boots and an orange chain around the back of her shoulders. Okay. Gunnar Gundy's tweet, quote tweet, "I'm coming back." Great.
Oklahoma State problems.
Okay, State Probs.
Okay, State Props.
You probs.
Props.
Like problems.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You gotta get a look at this. You have to.
I'm efforting that as we speak. I'm looking at a blue circle spinning of death.
Okay.
It's worth a stare.
I'm tempting to get there. Talk amongst yourselves while I'm waiting for my blue circle to stop spinning.
The NIT really delivered last night as Seton Hall won 79-77. So the best of the rest teams, clearly those two. They were both one seeds in their respective brackets. And the cool part that John Fanta's got here on Twitter is, this is bigger than basketball, what it's really about. Shaheen Holloway, the coach of Seton Hall, telling Robbie Avila, who's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the best thing is he goes up and literally lifts his head up and gives him a strong word there and supports him there. So that's cool. Let's hit the portal potty, please, Lucas. Haley Van Leith off to another school, her third school in 3 years, Louisville, LSU, and now who knows where. Maybe Texas Tech Red Raiders. Wouldn't that be something? I think the checkbook would have to be pretty wide open to get that done. But she is transferring. There's so much of this going on. Like, when it's all said and done, I think during this time, which, again, it could change, it could go in a different direction, but legislation would have to be presented and followed. During this time period here of 2020, it's probably going to go to, it'll probably at least go to 2030.
For the current NCAA mess?
Yeah. You're looking at 2020 to 2030. If you're setting your... this, Lucas, think of it this way in Vegas terms. Over, under, number of schools. I swear to you, the number that's coming to my mind right now is 3.2.
That each college student will attend in their career?
Yes. That's probably a little bit high.
No, I think that's pretty fair.
Because in order to get over 3.2, you'd have to go to 4. So you'd have to have the majority of these students that either go to 1, 2, 3, or 4 schools go to 4 in order for 4 to win. So maybe 2.9. I don't know, somewhere around there. But you're, 3 schools is becoming the norm.
Sure. The era of a guy going to one place and staying for 4 years is over. I mean, I think we all know that as we sit here with all the transfer portal that, and you were a big part of it before there was the easy transfer portal.
Yes.
Like Chris Beard made a living bringing in guys to come in for 1 year.
And not just the Texas Tech. Don't forget 2015, he had 12 new players at UALR in 1 year. Took 12 new players onto that campus, went to the NCAA tournament, won a game, got the UNLV job. You know the rest.
Sure. And this is not anything new for college athletics either. Like, and I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody specifically. Baseball has done transfer portal, has done transfers usually from junior colleges to Division One or Division Two to Division One kind of thing, where guys went someplace else, got better, stronger, faster, then were able to go up to Division One. So transfers aren't like a new thing. What the new thing is where a guy goes from starting at a Division One school and being a key player and then becoming going to a different school to be a starter and a Division One player. There is little that I think is going to change in this for one very simple reason. The governing body of this has thrown the white flag up and says, we are no longer in charge. We have no authority in this. By the way, that is by design. And because we have no authority and we do not want to be sued, y'all do whatever you want to do because you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And when that happens, this is what you get. This is what everybody asked for. I'm sorry you got what you asked for and don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, the gates are wide open, that's for sure. And the traffic, man, it's like trying to drive in Houston with the transfer portal. I mean, you're trying to sift and play. I use the Frogger reference.
Oh, sure. That's a great reference.
Yeah. Trying not to drown or get run over and pick the right players, because, you know, if you don't pick the right players, then you're going to have a bad season. And that's going on right now. Who are we going to get? Because we've already lost 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or however many. Got to get some good ones. Headlines coming up.
Got one back.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. This is the End of the Bench.
What's that beautiful little baby's name?
This is our little...
LeBron. Named LeBron.
Yep.
Oh. Oh, little French fella.
It's our little LeBron.
Yeah, I was against the name at first, but the missus here's got a real soft spot for prima donnas, so he'll never be as good as Jordan.
On 100.7 The Score.
Baby LeBron ends up dying, run over by an 18-wheeler. That's a tough end for baby LeBron, who was... actually, a kilo of cocaine, if I remember correctly, or was it weed? Weed? I think it was weed.
It was weed, I believe. Yeah.
Little baby LeBron got tossed out in the street.
Wow.
And then they played it off as it was a school project.
Yeah, sure. Which was a great cover, yeah.
Yeah.
Cameron has already been through that, and there wasn't much to it. You just had to, you know, keep the heartbeat going and, you know, get an A. I think. That's kind of the way that went. It's a Dos El Jefes edition of the program here on 100.7. The Score will take you all the way up until noon as we try to get the Red Raider baseball team off the last four out, or the first four out. That's where they've been projected, not only by Baseball America, but D1Baseball.com. Both of those publications had, or well, you can't even call them really publications anymore, both of those websites.
That's a publication.
Internet publication. Have Kansas getting in right before you. So that'll be a huge series coming up in Lawrence. You still have, this next week will be huge.
There's, you have run out of non-huge weekends.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah. And you're a baseball guy. I'm a baseball guy. We get that losing two games out of a series isn't the worst thing ever to happen. We get that you're going to have good games and you're going to have bad games. And you can win against a top 25 team and sweep them and then lose to Abilene Christian later that week. And it's okay that you're not catching anything on fire. You're not burning down the building. You have run out of those. Hey, it's no big deals. You have used them up this year.
You've been good in the midweeks.
You've been good in the midweeks, which is why we're not catching fire to everything.
Okay. The little guy saying this is fine.
Yeah, you're. But you've run out of the. Oh, it's okay. We'll figure this out. It's go time. And I'm not panic button mode. I'm not saying that somebody needs to lose their job. But you have a very young team. And a very inexperienced team for being here with Tim Tadlock this year, that you're not hitting in clutch situations. You're not fielding it cleanly. You're not making the easy play. You're making the easy play hard and the hard play impossible. And you're pitching. Your starting pitching, while it's been given a lot of flack, has done a really good job of trying to get through things, but they're not able to make up for bad hitting, situational, and bad defense behind them. They have also not bounced back after bad defensive situations where one thing leads to another, and that is the fault of some pitchers. But you have run out of all... It's go time. It's time to figure some things out. It's time to go be the baseball team that you think you can be, as opposed to the one you have been. Now, if you lose two out of three this weekend, does that mean you're not going to make the NCAA a regional? I'm not going to say that yet, but you start getting to the, if not now, when? Because the clock is ticking, and she's ticking very loudly.
One thing that makes it tick louder is your RPI and where it is, and especially in comparison to, say, UCF, who's got an RPI of 5. And you're in that spot where it's going to be hard to move it and move that needle. You made some nice headway on that because you were in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got it into the 50s. I don't know exactly where it stands today. We'll look that up. But that's something that has to really improve. And it really gets another reason why I was so huge to scratch out two wins against Stanford, because they're up in the 170s in the RPI. So this is, yeah, you're right. It is go time. And I'm hoping putting Free at the start of this thing, getting him going, maybe will kind of change the feel of the weekend series. And then Robinson can do his thing, and then Huer can maybe finish some things off. And then you're going to have your bullpen. But Parker Hutera really excites me. He's done a great job out of the bullpen, but can you rely on your Trenton Parishes of the world? I'm not sure.
And that is the other thing you've got to figure out, is who you can rely on. Mm-hmm. And that's been a question on and off all season.
Door slammers.
Who are the guys that can go out there and just take control? And from the offensive side, too. Like, you've got to get away from the, if you don't hit a home run, you can't score.
Yeah, well, it's been the way it's been.
And it's not like you're not running, because this team is running more than I think any Tadlock team has done in quite some time. Like, but it's not putting things together. Currently, RPI Tech sitting at 54.
It's way too high. Now, like I said, next week will be interesting. This is going to be tough. You're at Abilene Christian on Tuesday. at TCU Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you go straight from Fayetteville or straight from Fort Worth to Fayetteville to play Arkansas twice. Whew, that's going to be a tough week.
But being a tough week, that gives you an opportunity. And you need to go take that opportunity and use it for your benefit. That, and that's kind of why I'm still saying that I'm not hitting the panic button yet. But this could go from a not hitting the panic button situation to, well, this season's going to end after the Big 12 tournament very, very quickly. And it's, when I think of hitting the panic button on a season, it's, there's no hope. That it's over, there's nothing we can do, massive changes need to happen. And I don't think that's where you're at. You have an extremely young team. Like, I went looking through it. I was talking with Chris Sneed. I think it was last week we were having this conversation. The leadership on this team, there's like three guys that have been on this roster for more than 3 years. You've got some older players, but they've only been here for a couple of years. They've only been here for a year. You've got some a bunch of freshmen who are playing a bunch of key positions for you, whether it be in the bullpen, in your defensive lineup, whatever the situation may be, that you don't have the Josh Young who's been here for 3 years, and when he speaks, everyone in the world listens. You don't have the Jace Young who's going to turn over a table to get everybody going. You don't have the, you know, insert whoever it has been over the past year, because they haven't been here long enough to do those kind of things yet. And I'm going to steal something that Coach Stone said to us a decade and a half ago, I think, when we were covering Texas Tech soccer, and he said something that has stuck with me ever since then. When the head coach is also the team captain, it's not a good situation. And I kind of feel that, like, that's what you've got going on right now, that the leadership internally is still trying to figure that out and be the guy that would run a players only meeting and be like, this is not how we do things here. We've got to be better than this. And that's not being critical of those guys necessarily, because I don't know who you would point to be that guy right now for the amount of time that these guys have been here.
The only guy that jumps to the front of my mind is Bazell, but he is kind of a quiet guy. You know, one thing that Jamie and I have discussed, and I don't know if he feels the same, is, and this I think probably goes back to everything that you just said, is Texas Tech baseball, the one that's Omaha quality, that's a conference champion worthy, has an edge to it. And I know for a fact that when the red and black showed up to the ballpark, the intimidation factor was through the roof. You didn't want to tangle with our guys because they had an edge. They had that kind of mean streak. And then they would just play hard. And then they would just, you know, make you wear it, basically, because that's all you could do on a given weekend. It seems like that edge has rounded off now. It's a little bit softer. It doesn't talk quite as much. It doesn't have the shove factor that Texas Tech baseball has had, and that probably does come back all the way to, you don't have your Brian Klein leadership. You don't have, you know, guys that you know that when they step on the mound, they're going to shove and all those things. And I think you broke it down pretty well.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's the End of the Bench, the EOB, the award-winning EOB on the First United Bank Studios, where we're at. Visual Edge, IT Hotline, 806-771-0973. It was pretty funny. MLB Network was on live during the earthquake.
I'm watching that video right now.
Ham and Eggers.
This is insane.
Yeah. Which one? What do you? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, the camera starts shaking. And there's four of them that are on live, and it wasn't anything like crazy shaking, but
batting practice.
Got some BP.
Doesn't even faze him. He's just like, all right, cool. We're hitting bombs, man. That's what we're doing. That's the one I was like, this is nuts. Like, and nobody else, like, you can kind of see everybody else around him kind of going, it's a little weird right now. And he's just like, throw it again. Watch this. Bang. Wow. Okay, so apparently they're fine. 5.5 magnitude, apparently, not that big of a deal. I've never experienced one. I don't know. Let's make this clear. The reaction I'm seeing here in New York City, they're fine.
The most famous one in Oklahoma was when Kurt Herbstreit was on live at the top of Boone Pickens Stadium, and his eyes went to the size of silver dollars. And you can Google that, Kirk Herbstreit earthquake.
I have never experienced an earthquake. I have been in a tropical storm. I've been in a Category 2 hurricane. I've been near a tornado. I have been through hailstones the size of golf balls. I have seen floods. I have seen droughts. All of these things I experienced. All of these things I understand. I have lived through so many haboobs, it's not even funny. Like, totally get it. Like, when people talk about dust storms, I'm like, you ain't seen nothing. Wait till you see the wall. Mm-hmm. That is the dust storm. Mm-hmm. I have driven through a dust storm. I've ridden through a dust storm on a motorcycle. I've done all of these things. Ground shaking is not something I'm ready to prepare for until I've done it. I have no idea how I would handle it. Because Earth is stable, except that it's not. But it is. It doesn't move on me every day. This is not something I would be used to. I might freak out like a little schoolgirl. I have no idea. I'm not even going to pretend to know how I would react.
Might find out.
I hope not.
What I think of these is just, it's crazy how different they are, because the one with the Kirk Herbstreit was a roller.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting in a Buffalo Wild Wings and we were just rolling up and down. Everything's, you know, shaking. And then got woken up by one in Glenpool, which was the biggest one we had, and it actually caused damage, but it was a shaker, just like that. So you can be rolling on that, or you can have just and extreme shake.
Like, sometimes it's the plate slipping, sliding past each other, it's smashing into each other, it's one going above and one. Like, there's a million ways that an earthquake is done. I don't know how it would handle any of them.
Yeah.
And don't want to. I'm good.
They're not fun. They're really, really scary. And that one just shook and shook and shook. I didn't think it was ever going to stop. All right, let's do the burning questions, Lucas.
2 minutes of nonstop in-your-face inquiries with no end in sight. It's time now for burning questions.
It being National Deep Dish Pizza Day, right?
Yep.
Rank in order: deep dish, regular crust, thin crust.
I'll go start the regular, bench the deep dish, and cut the thin crust.
We don't have to cut any pizzas. We're not being, no. The pizza didn't
start bench there. Cut, right?
No, this is just one, rank? Two, three. Just one, two, three.
Okay.
We're not cutting pizza. No, we're not cutting pizza. That's the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
You have
heard.
To cut it to eat it.
Hey, any pizza is a personal pan pizza if you're dedicated enough, man. Just take some dedication, man. Get after it.
Oh.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, regular, deep, thin.
Lucas?
Thin, deep, regular.
Wrong answer. No, you got it. You just, why thin? It's eating pizza on a cracker.
Yep.
I mean, if it's your only option, if there's some dietary limitations, if, you know, you're allergic, I get it. Deep dish all the way, followed by regular, and then thin. As a last resort. Like, bagel pizza. Bagel bites are awesome because there's some crust there. Just looking at things, man. Would you rather throw a no-hitter that you lose the perfect game in the ninth, or miss your fourth home run in a game on a heroic catch from the center fielder?
Oh, I mean, if I'm going to get a no-no, I got to throw a no-no. I'll deal with the perfection being gone. That's fine.
Lucas?
Yeah, it's the same answer I would give.
Losing it on the last out of a perfect game, that would so sting. But when a guy makes a great catch, you can tip your cap knowing that you've already had a three-homer day. I think I'm going the three-homer day. Although you get the no-hitter, I would always know.
They're gonna talk about the no-no a lot more than they're going to talk about the three-run home run day.
Sure, but I'll know. And it's the one that's going to drive me the least crazy
okay. In
this particular conversation. And peanut butter and jelly, what's the jelly?
Strawberry.
I would agree with that.
Grape jelly all the way. All the way.
We're both not from Texas, so.
So ahead.
I think most Texans go grape, right?
I don't know. Grape. Like, I don't know where the line divide is. I didn't know there was another type of jelly growing up other than grape. And my parents are from Chicago. Or in the Illinois, Chicago area. Like, that's where they met. And I don't ever remember seeing anything other than grape jelly until I came to college. So I don't know. I don't know where the line is. I don't know what the divide is. I'm not telling you not to get your strawberry jelly. And I would probably try if someone made me a peanut butter and strawberry jelly sandwich and try it out. Or if I found some place that was selling them, I would try it out. But I don't want to buy a thing of strawberry jelly and not like it, even though it's only $1.88 or whatever it would be. But then it would be like, well, did I just buy bad jelly because I bought cheap jelly? Do I need to buy expensive jelly? I don't know. I know I can buy the cheap grape jelly and be perfectly satisfied.
What's your thought on the jars that have the jelly and the peanut butter already mixed in together? Are you a fan of that?
You're ruining my peanut butter there.
Yeah.
Because I buy good peanut butter. I don't care how broke I get. Toilet paper, we buy the good stuff. Peanut butter, we buy the good stuff. There's layers that we do not cross. That is a layer I do not cross.
You gotta buy good paper towels.
I see why, because you have kids. And what I mean by that, I don't make a mess enough that I need the good paper towels. But that's because I don't have kids that I'm cleaning up after. And Indy does really, really well. So I don't have to run into that problem either very much. Heinz ketchup, non-negotiable. Completely, I totally get it. We do not cross certain lines. I will go without before I get the wrong one. So toilet paper, very important. We don't run into that in the McGuire household. It's a necessity.
Yeah. You get the bad paper towels, you're just wasting your time. Got to have the absorption. All right, we're going to hit up the chat line when we come back. Start getting your thoughts and your questions ready for 11:45. We'll have that going then with Ask the Benchwarmers. I'm talking about earthquakes today. Yeah.
Coca-Cola jelly, Farmer's Market in Wolforth will
jellies?
Blow your mind.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I swear.
I try it.
Jen took all the kids out to the farmer's market. I don't want to know what she spent because every kid had something. Had all the homemade breads, which she brought me back some banana nut bread, and I was still
happy
really,
as a clam.
Still really happy about that. And some jalapeno cheese bread. It's been really good, so. Evidently, that's a really cool place to go. I never get to go because I got a baseball game to call.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
1 hour from now, we'll have Ask the Benchwarmers. And then noon brings the bottom line. Don't forget myself and Jamie Lent on the air at 6 o'clock tonight for Texas Tech Baseball as Houston is in town. 6 o'clock today, let's just go with the times, the first pitch times. 6:35, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Those are your times for Texas Tech baseball and softball, but softball is over in Waco. Lots of high school ball on, lots of pro ball on. We've got you covered. 100.7, the score, the home of the Houston Astros. Double T 97.3, the home of the Texas Rangers. A Dos Jefes edition of the program. as we are live in downtown Lubbock, Texas at the Raymar compound. Grape jelly all the way, though I'm intrigued by the cola jelly idea. I enjoy Cokes with my PB&Js. It's either grape jelly or apple butter on the peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, apple butter is fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Go ahead, sorry.
Red plum jelly all the way.
Hmm. That's a thought. I don't know where I would fall on that. I am intrigued. Mm-hmm.
Jelly says grape jelly and Texas are not associated, not a thing. I thought they were. I just thought that was like the overall choice of Texans.
I don't know any other way. Like, I don't have enough information to verify either way.
I didn't know that was Metalhead who said he was out there at the Wolford Farmer's Market. The wind is blowing like crazy already. Yeah, Mark, I tell you, man. Which way is it blowing?
Because give me 30 seconds.
We have had some wind games. My gosh, it makes it tough.
I mean, you're not surprised by that.
I'm not surprised by it. But the way that it's set up, when you go even that much higher, and I heard Gus talking about this after the last game when it was howling out to straightaway center field, even if you go up that one floor, you know, I take my son with me to a lot of these games. I was like, boy, just take the hat off, because when we exit this elevator,
oh yeah, it's gone.
We will lose the lids if we don't hold on to them.
Winds out of the south, 24 to 32. So it's not gusting, it's just constant. So it'd be blowing in on you guys.
Well, blowing out to left.
Yeah.
That's Matt Gardner and I have talked about this. He's like, the wind blows in four games a year.
Yep.
Because that's, when do you get a southeast wind? Once every 40 days, probably, you get a southeast wind.
Did not want to see this in the forecast.
All right, what you got?
Patchy and blowing dust and windy tomorrow with the high of, I didn't see that it was, we got
blowing dust. Yeah, it's wind all weekend.
Wind, I knew. I didn't see the blowing dust. How bad is this dust?
Get it in your teeth. So once you get up to where we're at, and then if you want to have your garage door open, which is the window.
Sure.
Then if you open that door, it turns into a hurricane.
Yeah.
Everything lurches towards the fans that are below us. I mean, we've had stuff blow out of that thing and land on fans before.
Yep.
Now, luckily, the possum hasn't landed. We still have the possum head up there in the glass. But, and then J-Bob, he's not up there anymore. He's got his own office in the new area. So there's not as much stuff to blow out, but it's still.
But there's still stuff to blow. Your stuff.
Yeah, you got stuff taped. You know, you got stuff tacked.
It could be worse.
Oh, yeah.
It could be in New Mexico.
Could be Santa Ana Starfield.
Under the speaker.
All right, Lucas, let's do it to him.
So it's time for a pop quiz.
Closing the laptop. Pop this way
quiz.
I can't cheat.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
All right, this is board games.
Okay.
10 questions. 10 out of 10, you get lunch. 7 plus, you're a winner. 8, 9, respect. 6 and below, you're a loser.
Got it. 7's the number.
7 is the number. Here we go. Can you name the 6 suspects in the board game Clue?
Colonel Mustard.
1.
Professor Plum.
2.
Black Widow. Mrs. White.
Correct.
Scarlet. It's Miss Scarlet.
Correct. That's 4.
You gotta think of the colors. Mrs. Peacock?
5.
And it's not the butler. It's not Mr. Body. I'm also going, like, it's also the movie that's in my head. I'm like, no, Yvette wasn't a character you can play in the board game.
If you get all these, I say you win the. Need one more.
What's the color of the piece I'm missing?
Green.
Oh, Mr. Green. Not Mr. Green. Yeah, Mr. Green.
No.
Professor Green?
No. Reverend Green.
Reverend Green?
Yeah.
Never would have gotten that. I don't know that I've ever heard of Raven Green.
You get 5 out of 6, you get that point. Okay, so you've got one. Which board game is played with teams of players trying to identify specific words from their teammates' drawings?
It's not win, lose, or draw, it's Pictionary.
Yep. In which game do you have to collect as many marbles as possible with hippos?
Oh, Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Can you name the game that simulates a person's travel through his or her life from college to retirement with jobs, marriages, and children,
life.
Or not? The Game of Life.
Game of Life, yeah. With the cars and the pegs. Yeah.
So where are we at on that?
That's 4 points.
Four. Which board game was created in 1998 by Whit Alexander and Richard Tate? It's a party board game.
Sorry?
Sorry's been around a long time. Cranium. Which board game is determined by a player's ability to answer general knowledge and popular culture questions?
Trivial Pursuit.
Attaboy. What's the maximum number of people that can play a game of Mousetrap? 2, 4, or 6?
4, one on each side.
He's so good at these. Is that, what, 6 out of 7?
6 out of 7. But I haven't won yet. This can all go south in a hurry.
Okay, unfortunately, I have run out
of
board game questions. I thought there were more, okay? All right, here we go. We'll go a little geography to end.
Okay.
All right. Where's the Taj Mahal? Just the country.
The country?
Just
the Persia? No, that's not a country. India.
Ding. Stonehenge.
London. London.
Country.
England.
Give me country. Just country.
England.
United Kingdom. I'll give it to you.
Okay.
The Water Towers.
The Water Towers? I got no idea what they're even talking about. The Water Towers?
All right, never mind. I don't want to give you that one.
I kind of want to look this up and see what they are.
Harbor Bridge.
Harbor Bridge? I know this one. I'm going to take the loss because I know this one.
Oh, you've already won.
No, on this question. France? No, where's Harbor Bridge?
Australia.
I knew that one.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10 and 5 out of 6 clue characters.
Water Tower?
Pretty darn good from Jeff McGuire, if you ask me. I know I wouldn't have done that good.
The Water Towers in Kuwait?
Yep.
Oh, wow, these are cool. I've never seen these before.
Quick, favorite board game.
There's just something fun about Trivial Pursuit when you're playing with liked, intelligent people. If there's one group there that like knows every question in the box, yeah, they're not so much fun to play
right.
with.
There's got to be kind of an even play.
Kind of a balance, yeah. And even if it's like one group's really good at the entertainment stuff.
It'd be like me playing my dad in Trivial Pursuit. He would just destroy me. He would just wipe the floor with me. My favorite one, though, is Battleship.
Oh, Battleship's awesome. Battleship is great.
Lucas, you ever play Battleship?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy it.
Got to find that PT boat, man.
All right. That's right.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
All right. Asking the Bench Warmers. The way you do it is through the Yates Flooring Center chat line, the 100.7 The Score mobile app. And it is presented by Happy State Bank. The bottom line is coming up here in just a few ticks of the clock. Just about 10 minutes left of the Dos Jefes. Benchwarmers, if you had to cheer for a different Major League Baseball team other than the one you currently like and or cover and or work for, which team would it be? Mine would be the Cubs or Arizona. That's from Bullfighter. So no White Sox for you. Who is it?
Well, I'd also say there ain't no Rangers for me either. I probably watch 140 Rangers games a year, if not more than that. If I had to pick one, Arizona's a really good – like, I really wanted to root for them last year for that team in the World Series. That was such a fun team to watch through the National League side of the playoffs, but I was rooting for the Rangers. And it was like, I hate that we're beating you. Lose to somebody else next time. It wouldn't be the Dodgers. It wouldn't be Oakland. It wouldn't be Seattle. It wouldn't be the Angels. Arizona's a really good answer. I don't want to... Yeah, I'll stick with Arizona. That's a good answer. I don't want to talk myself into somebody else.
Mine's always going to be in the American League, and my American League team would be the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, my White Sox Royale fandom would eliminate them from my... Like, yeah. The Twins are probably a popular answer for a lot of Rangers fans because they're a successful team, but doesn't ruffle any feathers except if you are playing in their division, and they have ruffled your feathers quite a lot. So,
I would take the Brewers, the Milwaukee Brewers.
That's a good answer, too. Yeah.
I had a high school teammate get drafted by the Brewers, so I kind of started liking them when he got drafted. He never went. He went the college route instead, but it was cool to say that my teammate got drafted by the Brewers, so I always kind of followed them, so they would be my second behind the Orioles.
I'd also look at, like, the Braves, if they weren't as successful. Like, I wouldn't want to jump on a bandwagon, and that's where I would be at with the Braves right now. But
no bandwagon in Kansas City.
No. White Sox fan here. I'm the only one. Woo! I'm towing the whole train, and it's just me with a backpack.
I like Kauffman Stadium, and being in Tulsa, we got to go there a bunch. And it was a lot of fun.
Oh, sure.
Hax, did you say the switch over to Adidas will cause new era caps next year for Texas Tech baseball? I did not say that, Clay, but who knows? That could be correct. I wish there was a place Maxie could play when he's not catching. Boy can rake. That's from Lindale Jeff.
That is one problem that Tadlock is having to figure out is – you've got your catchers that are both knocking the cover off the ball.
You got a McGee-Bazell Maxi triangle.
Yeah. And that eliminates another position that somebody could be rotating in because you want to keep those guys in the lineup as much as possible. That does make it hard.
You may get to a place where it's Maxi and Bazell back at third. You may get there. If Maxie's out hitting McGee right now, would you say that's correct?
Yes.
If Maxie can, and now Maxie's got to be able to keep guys from stealing all over the place.
Because we saw what that looked like last year.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody wants to go back to that.
No, and you don't have to because all you got to do is put Kevin Bazell back there.
And that's why I don't think you make that move all the time. I know you did it for the one Stanford game. But I think that had to do with more of him catching the night before and then an afternoon game than anything else.
I'm guessing tonight you'll have McGee back at third. You'll have Bazell at catcher. You'll have Tripling at first.
Oh, yeah.
Pompey at second. Lopez at short. Woodcock's left. Bravo center. Washburn right.
Go ahead and fill it out, guys. We're good. We already know what we're doing.
Lived in West Texas all my life. 10 years ago, MD Anderson in Houston saved my life. Mm. I feel lots of love for there, but driving there is definitely a nightmare and happy to be here forever. That's from the Yates Flooring Center chat.
I'm going
to
take a guess because I know that hospital very, very well. Congratulations for beating cancer.
Yeah.
Because that's what that place does, and they do it very well.
Benchwarmers, if you could add any former Texas Ranger to this current roster, who would you choose?
Man. I hate to say this. Only because of the very current situation. Adrian Beltre?
Good answer. I mean, that's going to be a great answer no matter what.
But I don't like it.
Like
if Josh was
100%,
I wouldn't be making this. I wouldn't be making that call. I like Jonah Heim. I don't know that I like it more than Pudge.
Yeah, I'm going Pudge.
But I'm not like looking to replace Jonah. Will Clark at first. Get that sweet swing back in a Rangers uniform. I don't think that's a bad answer. I don't know that's the best answer.
This says Nolan Ryan. Sooner in Lubbock says lifelong Braves fan here. Jeff, there are an enormous amount of Braves fans because of the way
TBS.
The way we had to consume baseball back in the day.
My inner 12-year-old is very confused every summer when I can't watch the Cubs on WGN, which doesn't even exist here anymore, and I can't watch the Braves on TBS. I don't understand the world. And then you take away my Saturday morning cartoons. I'm lost. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Joyce Woodman weighs in, says nonsensical answer, Colby Lewis. Better answer, Nolan Ryan.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of us that have a very fond memory of Colby Lewis because he did the one thing that this Rangers team needs more than anything else. That man took the ball every fifth day. And I do mean rain or shine, hot, cold, didn't matter. And this is in the old ballpark when it was 155 degrees on the mound. Took that ball and said, I am going to win you a baseball game today. And it's why I consider him the ace of that staff that when he was on it, as opposed to Yu Darvish, because I always felt like Yu Darvish was hurt. And he nibbles way too much for me.
Mm.
Darvish would try to just throw it on the edge of the strike zone and would throw 95 pitches by the third inning. Where Colby might only make it to the fifth or sixth, and he'd be throwing 70, 80 pitches at that point. But he was attacking the strike zone. He's like, this is my strike zone. There are many others like it, but this one is mine. Hated you, Darvish, for how much he nibbled.
I'd like to see Julio Franco myself.
Oh, just the batting stance alone.
Yeah.
I'd sign up for that.
Jamie brought up that one of the hitters from Stanford had a little Mickey Tettleton in him. I didn't really see it.
Okay. Because
he held it up way high, but Tettleton
way
laid...
Way up here? Like, he was up here, wasn't he?
No, Tettleton laid it straight back.
Oh, he did. Oh, okay. I'm thinking of...
Take your wrists, fold them completely opposite of the pitcher, and so... The bat is pointed like this, straight back at the umpire.
At the ump, okay.
Yeah.
Where you can't do that now, because Angel Hernandez would call it a strike.
Before the
pitch was even thrown.
Strike.
God, that's a terrible call, like, man.
Like Naked Gun. Strike.
Yeah,
Enrico Palazzo. Did we see the same lineup tonight as we saw on Wednesday? I don't think so. Just kind of went through that. I think we'll be back with Bazell behind the dish, but who knows? My first pro sporting event to attend was the Braves game, inaugural year of Turner Field.
Very cool.
You know, one team that I might have a chance of enjoying that I've still not been to, it's unbelievable, I've still never seen a Rockies game.
You're not the only person that has said that. I have never seen a Rockies game, and we're this close to Denver. You figure,
yeah,
because I haven't been in the new ballpark yet, but I've seen 20 Rangers games, over the course of my time here. But
did you get to go to all three ballparks? You've been
no, I was only at the new. I was only at the old new ballpark in Arlington.
The one that's still standing.
Yes. That's the only one.
That's a shame.
Now, I have been both to the Astrodome and Minute Maid. So I got both of those.
So have I.
And that is the extent of my Major League Baseball stadiums.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Golly, man. You're a dude that's...
Well, I went from Houston to here.
I know.
I've never seen my favorite team play in their home stadium. Oh, now, Comiskey, and that's what I'm going to continue to call it, is a dump for the fans.
Yeah.
So I'm not like in a rush, but
All right, that's it for us. Bottom line coming up, thanks to Jeff and Lucas. Have a great weekend.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.